Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing about energy policy. Here in these transition weeks between the Biden administration and the second Trump administration. As an example, I believe, of Richard's very careful analysis, I read the headline of an editorial in the Wall Street Journal some days past. Biden tosses Rivian, a $6 billion lifeline. The company is losing $107,043 per EV sale, and taxpayers could end up paying. I learned from this editorial that the Inflation Reduction Act includes a $7,500 tax credit per vehicle for all EV buyers, a $40,000 credit for commercial EVs. That's significant because Rivian turns out trucks, which look a whole lot like commercial enterprises. Despite the fact that Rivian is dominated by one owner, Amazon, there's a shallow pocket. Richard, a very good evening to you. The Inflation Reduction Act shows up in the Rivian editorial, Rivian now losing $107,000, according to the Wall Street Journal, per EV sale. This looks like industrial policy gone mad. How do we understand the Biden people? What have they gotten us into? Good evening to you.
Well, I wish I knew. This is not only industrial policy. I would regard this as a form of industrial suicide. If one goes back to the situation with respect to the Inflation Reduction Act, it was a conceit. What they said is, we're going to impose a set of new taxes, and we're going to give a set of new subsidies. And magically, of course, since it's the Biden administration, the subsidies will be smaller than the taxes. But the taxes are fixed and definite, and the subsidies are not subject to any kind of cap. And so, according to the stories that I read, one I think was in the Wall Street Journal, the estimated $300 billion worth of subsidy is now over $1.2 trillion and climbing. And so this indicates that things are permanently out of whack. So what are you buying? What you're doing is you're basically putting money into a failed company at the time at which the demand for its vehicles is going down. The explanation here is really pretty simple. Why the Biden administration would opt for a corner technology, all EV and no hybrids, is a mistake. Electronic vehicles have a perfectly sensible place in this situation as part of hybrid vehicles, because at that point you could use the gasoline engines to recharge the batteries, and you don't have to go into all these charging stations, which would cost billions of dollars to make. And then, as with every other thing that the Biden administration does, there's always a huge pro-union, pro-DEI component built into the situation. And once you have to fund the conditions that are attached to the grants are worth less than you would want, and so you can't do the project at all. So they have a mismatch, a total mismatch, between the vehicles that are being put out and the infrastructure available to support it. And that means that no matter how much money you put into the Rivian stuff, nobody could venture away from home if you don't know where you're going to charge those things when you need it. So if you want a classic illustration of that, it's the rental market in cars. People go to airports. They don't know whether the car is charged or not. They have to go places. They don't know whether there's a charging station near when they're going somewhere. And they don't know if it's near, whether or not it's working. They don't know whether it's working. There's a line in front of them. So nobody will rent a car. And so all these rental companies have junked those fleets. So what you do is you see a subsidy going in favor of a failed technology when there's a perfectly good technology that does rely on all of this electronic stuff in a very constructive way, which doesn't seem to get any subsidy. I mean, the only reason I can think of this is that the Biden administration is fixated on what they regard as the central problem of global warming as having a simple problem that is carbon dioxide and nothing else. And so they're putting all their eggs in stopping the carbon dioxide and none of their eggs in the basket of dealing with other forms of pollution. So recently, for example, there was a interesting set of studies about allergies and about autism, relating it to very small particles that are emitted, say, you know, from tires that are made by Rivian and so forth. Now, what is the theory? Is that these things are absorbed. They're sufficiently small. They make their way into the gut. And what they do is they increase the probability of autism and allergy. I can't swear to the theory, but I've seen now at least three or four recent mentions of that in the press. And why would you want to subsidize a company whose alternative form of pollution is extremely dangerous? And so what you really want to do in these cases is make sure that the technologies grow in tandem and don't put yourself on one extreme or on the other. And the Biden administration simply does not know what the word trade-off means. They assume that if they want something, it's all good and never bad. They never do what everybody else in the world does. There's enough of a good thing is fine. Too much of a good thing turns out to be a bad thing. And what we mean by that is, as you do more and more of a given technology, the cost of that technology goes up relative to its benefits, and you have to know where to quit. They don't know where to quit. So they keep shoveling this money out. And the real question is going to be, it's not going to be all spent in the time that's allocable. And then the Biden people are going to face the prospect that the Trump people will come in, and it's part of this efficiency program that are put together, ironically, by Elon Musk, who's in the electronic vehicle business, and Vivek Ramaswamy. They're going to probably try to hold the money back from these kinds of things, given the hasty nature of the appropriation. So what I do is I think that this is just another version of the utter incompetence that has characterized Biden on virtually every issue that he has stressed since he has become president. I'm sorry to say, but I cannot think of a single thing that he has done as president in either the domestic or the foreign arena which has made any kind of sense. And his energy policies is that way. Now, what makes it worse is the largest state in the union, not to be largest state for very much longer, California, doubles down on all the Biden policies. And you could see in one casual remark from Gavin Newsom, one of the world's most uninformed governors, he says, well, of course we want this technology. There's no pollution. Well, that's wrong. There's no pollution from carbon dioxide emissions from the tail tax. But when you have these heavy cars on the road and you just watch the tire wear and all the other complications that arrive, there's just alternative forms of pollution that really start to matter. And so once you recognize that the world of business judgment is a world of balancing and knowing when to go forward and knowing when to quit, you realize that dogmatists like Biden and like Gavin Newsom have no place in a constructive future for energy. And so what you're seeing here is the last gasp of this. And I have no question that when you see this thing going forward, there's going to be a radical change with respect to energy policy. And that's going to have to start with opening up pipelines, continuing to drill, allow the greater export of natural gas, and to rely on the continued and very effective improvements made with respect to all of these technologies. It's always interesting when you listen to people talk about fracking and the kinds of accidents that take place. They refer to 2010, 2007, and so forth. All of this is prehistoric in terms of the recent set of developments. And so what we have to do is try to make sure that all of these technologies which have succeeded can be made better, both by small increments on the one hand and perhaps by pioneering innovation on the other. But you never want to put all your eggs in the wrong basket. And that's what the Biden administration has done.
Richard, you have experience in conversation debate with those who favor an industrial policy where the American people are guided to a virtuous future. There is this thing in the markets called price signaling. And you respond to it and you prosper. If you do not respond to it, you do not prosper. Is that information available to the government leadership on ideas like subsidizing a vehicle that nobody is buying? Do they know about price signals?
Well, they know about it, but they don't believe it. See, their view is that the consumers are not informed people trying to maximize haltingly to be sure their own welfare. They're a bunch of gullible individuals who have to be instructed on eternal truths with respect to global warming. But on the other hand, all their eternal truths turn out to be generic falsehood. So every time there's a change in anything having to do with the temperature, it is always attributable to high levels of changes in carbon dioxide. And these changes are enormous, and sometimes not now we're in a spurt The heat. You can't explain that by an increase of 4 points in carbon dioxide from 408 to 412 or whatever the number is, parts per million. There's something else out there that's working. And so not only do they have a bad view of what science, about what technologies and what they sort of put all your eggs in one basket, they have a very bad view about how it is that natural phenomena take place. And you cannot have on the left side changes in temperature, and on the right side, the only independent variable that matters is carbon dioxide concentration, which is the way they kind of model these things. Everything else turns out to be residual term. Well, you know, there's El Nino, La Nina, there's sunspots, there's volcanoes. Who knows what the other things there are? And these are many cycles, and they all have different periodicity and different peaks. So when you put them all together, it turns out that you will take normal sine curves, and they'll become much more erratic. If two cycles are in line, things will shoot up. If they're opposition, they'll go zero. So the level of volatility that you get when you have multiple cycles in the atmosphere and in the general world that influences temperatures and so forth is a much greater level of discontinuity than otherwise. And I spend a fair bit of time looking at these things. And one of the things that notice is all of the people who are putting all their money on the global warming hypothesis attributable to carbon dioxide have been wrong on, you know, three major issues. If I could remember them all, they've certainly been wrong about all the Pacific islands sinking. It turns out that the islands haven't sunk. They've risen. All the big one. And they're wrong about the coral reef, which constantly goes into cycles of degeneration and regeneration and so forth very rapidly. And right now it's at a peak that is more coral than ever before. And all the New York Times can tell you is it's going to disappear again, as it will, and then we'll return again. And lastly, there's the survival of the polar bears. They were supposed to be dead, and they're right at least the number that they were 50 years ago. So their three major talking points are all wrong, which means that you have to figure out what else is going on in these systems. And, of course, the most obvious thing, which they never take into account, are the two things. One is photosynthesis, which has a huge greening effect, and it's positively correlated with increased carbon dioxide. And this is not a small effect. This is a very big effect that you could do by simply setting up greenhouses and changing the level of carbon dioxide that you pump into them. So that's one of these things that you can start to do very easily. And over again, what people tend to forget is that if you have a thing like carbon dioxide, which is big positives and some negatives.
30 seconds, Richard, 30 seconds.
The positives may well outweigh the negatives. And so what we need to do is to get Trump coming in. It's not that we want him to use the word hoax to describe everything that's going on the other side, although their science is really quite terrible. But you want him to listen to the kinds of people who will see that there are benefits to carbon dioxide, that there's importance to attach to water vapor in order to make the system work. And Biden was incapable of doing that.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, we're turning to Pardon Me. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashley.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.